would love to call you back just as soon as I can.
The mailbox is full.
Greetings, the automatically deleted husband, and I have a photo that I'm using today from a, you know, the irony on my daughter's birthday. There was an event that occurred in Moscow, and right now the count is 133 people were killed by a terrorist act. And, you know, a lot of details about that. But one thing struck me. I listened to a gentleman who described he was there with his wife, and obviously a lot of commotion was going on, and he suddenly found himself virtually next to one of the terrorists. You know, and I wondered about this because when I saw the early videos, one of them was being detained immediately afterwards. And, you know, how did they get him? Well, this gentleman found this guy was shooting people, stopped in order to reload, and he was virtually next to him. So he, you know, got physical with him. He said with his left arm, he pushed his gun down. With his right arm, he slugged him in the face. And another gentleman nearby came up and apparently slugged him in the face even harder. And they obviously detained this gentleman and stopped at least one of the four assailants from continuing his deeds, which I found interesting. And the reason why is because so often I find that I've done the things that are kind of, well, it starts things off, and then you need somebody else to come in, you know, to continue it, to give the harder blows. And I've really wondered about that analogy, because I am pushing on things. I break the ice, but I need somebody to get to pick up the ball. I really found I watched that, and I found that the analogy interesting. The photo you see a person. He's the person interviewing. The guy with the hoodie on. That you see the back of his head is the gentleman who did it. And I think what they're doing is they're not identifying him, because obviously if he's identified, revenge is probably in the air with those who committed the act. So anyway, I thought that was interesting. I found the analogy interesting. But something else happened. Sunday, I wondered about the, you know, I go swim at the YMCA. And there's a church service there Sunday morning. And I've interacted with a few people, and I wondered about going. Showing up early and going to the service, then go swim. I thought about it, because I talked with another gentleman about it. And I researched the church. And found that there were some issues that concerned me. I listened to a sermon online, and I decided, no, I can't go. But I did go to swim, and I was there a bit early, so I did meet a couple people, and I got into two dialogues. But then I went and swam, and when I got back, after giving it a lot of thought, I wrote an email, it's posted on their site. They have a contact form, and they have not responded today. So the likelihood of response, I think, is small, if any. But I'm going to read it. But one other thing that happened. Well, okay, let me just read that first. I wrote, "Greetings. I've been in Athens since December and swimming at the YMCA. I did so one Sunday and found out the pool was closed as the church meeting was in session. Since that time, I've had a few dialogues and became aware of some people I knew attended. After a dialogue with a friend, I decided to check into you and perhaps show up this morning. When I read the bio of Walt Alexander, what stood out was, Walt enjoys reading, hiking, and backpacking, and all things coffee. We are together in hiking or even race walking, so please feel invited by me to share a hike, either something modest or a bit more aggressive, such as my favorite Big Frog Mountain. I've been to the top 6 times, and serious theology dialogues are always a part. However, we are not on the same page with coffee, so I will stick with tea. But then I check some doctrine and listen to a sermon. A quick note from a software guy. I did download the sermon, but you do not make it easy for the novice to do so. I recommend you consider doing that. In a review of the document, Marriage, Divorce, and Remarriage, what I saw was an example of eisegesis. Conclusions were drawn from verses that require reading in an objective that the text does not give. This concerned me. Then I listened to Genesis 32 and 33, Wrestling with God. While I was encouraged that there was a context given, such as a setup in chapter 31, the verse that the title alludes to, verse 30, was ignored. While rational people could disagree, I contend this is a wonderful example of a Christophany. I wonder if you agree, considering your use of messenger and angel, which is not used in the text. My guess is you might not. I did have 2 dialogues with people there today before my swim. One was pleasant, the other was unfortunately less so. Both parties are aware that I set a challenge for many, so allow me to set it before you or any of your leadership. Given the thesis, the Bible is true and the institutional church is a fraud, are you willing to engage me in a private or public dialogue? If I am wrong, will you correct me with complete patience? 2 Timothy 4:2. If we share the scripture as our reference and you subscribe to 1 Peter 3:15, I'm asking what your hope is based on. Can you respond with gentleness and respect? Most that I have sent this before simply go silent. How about you? A few years ago, I made the detailed case from scripture on video at the link. Am I wrong on any point? Do you understand the weight of the question for you, your congregation, and me? My objective is not to be contentious. I have dug deep into 1 Corinthians 11:16 and the meaning of philonikos. My hope is to know our Creator all the more and to live in obedience to Him. I have found out the reality of 2 Timothy 3:12 in my life. It is why I started the Shofar Leaks Project. It has cost me everything in this world. What I have seen is a bit of compromise in the Christian community leads to a whole lot of theft. Consider the common purse in Proverbs 1. And pointing that out can cost you dearly. But it doesn't stop at money, as I'm perhaps only 1 or 2 people removed from those who pulled the trigger to kill the Good Samaritan, Mr. Tamal, in the collateral murder video, hence Shofar Leaks. The intermediaries were church leadership. It has had an impact on me. So, various serious things. However, if you or anyone in leadership or the congregation would be interested in a hike or simply sitting down for a dialogue, my name is John Kozlowski. My email is john@kozlowski.org. I'm easy to get a hold of. Respectfully, John Kozlowski. So, I sent that. It went to their form. So it didn't go into junk mail because I did not have an email address. And again, no response thus far. And since there was no even acknowledgement, I would think the odds are less than 50-50 that I'll ever get a response. But one other thing. After the conversations I had, again, one was positive. I went and swam. Because I didn't feel the pressure to leave and get back to work, I figured I'd do the normal 12 laps, which is 1/3 of a mile, approximately. I decided I was going to do 15. Just, you know, to push myself a little bit. But I didn't. I did 24 laps, 2/3 of a mile. I was pleased. I was pleased in one sense, because that is another indicator I'm in good health. The problem is, I might be around for a whole long time, alone. My lady, my wife, I love you, and I ask for you back.